I want to read you a scripture, and it's one that the Lord gave me just in worship just now, because really our very favorite thing to do is to minister to leaders, because we know the things that you have to push through to be able to give what God desires you to give, to lead, to care for, to pastor, to nurture, to protect, to counsel. And it's all beyond your natural ability, and it's all by the Spirit of God. And when we're in worship, this is what the scripture that the Lord gave me. And it says from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. And I quoted this scripture over my own life, and I walked the floor and prayed for many, many years that this would be what the Lord put around my life, that I would know the reality and the power of this scripture. It says, "Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves." One version of the word says able in ourselves, to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence or our ability comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And if the Lord has called you to any form of leadership, then you are a minister of the Spirit that brings life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And that means that your leadership is carried out in a flow of the Spirit. And who is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And so tonight we want to minister in such a way that you are challenged to be lifted to a new place of allowing a flow of the Holy Spirit through your life, that you would have that ability and confidence to know that the counsel you bring is from the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
That the ministry you bring, the pastoring, the shepherding, the nurturing, the building up, is from the Spirit of God. Because I can tell you that I have sat with families, with people, and I've heard heartbreaking situations, and I've sat there thinking, God, I don't know if I can handle this. I almost can't believe what they've walked through, and I certainly know I don't have any wisdom for them. And I've had to really reach out to God and find something that God wants me to pray for them. But if you're living in that dimension of the Spirit where your leadership flows from the Holy Spirit into your spirit man, then you will have that ability. Many times when I'm teaching people about the prophetic and teaching them to prophesy, I'll start them off by saying, when you approach someone, first of all, begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to pray in tongues, because that way your spirit man ascends above your soul. Your soul is looking at the person and weighing them up according to your life, your mind, your experience in God. But when you pray in the Spirit just for a few minutes before you go to pray for people, your spirit man starts to rise up and be the one that leads.
Yes.
And he connects with the Holy Spirit. And then you minister out of that, and you might end up praying something totally different. Sorry, I'm picking on you because you're right there. You might end up praying something totally different than you had planned, and that's the ministry of the Spirit. No one wants what I know. No one wants me praying what I think should be in a person's life. They want a flow of the Spirit, and I want you to know tonight that you are able ministers of the new covenant.
Amen.
Alan said today that Jesus is in you.
Amen.
You have everything you need, and you can come to a more proficient, effective, and more fruitful flow of flowing in the gifts of the Spirit if you can get beyond this. If you can just say, Lord, I want to know you, Holy Spirit. I want to be your friend. I want fellowship with you. And if you teach me, then I'll flow in these things, because the Holy Spirit is a teacher, and he will teach you as quickly as you want to learn or as slowly as you want to learn. And he'll challenge everything inside of you. He'll challenge you to boldness, and he'll challenge your fears and insecurities and your fear of rejection. What will they think if I do that? And I was saying to Alan, every time I pray for someone, I ask the Lord, where do I put my hand, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
How do I pray for this person? It's not a cookie cutter type of prayer. Everything. When I go to minister, it's my whole being. It's everything. Sometimes I'll get on the floor and pray for their feet, and I won't even know why. I'll do exactly what the Holy Spirit says and not go beyond that.
Amen. From the Amplified, that same scripture says this: "It is he who has qualified us, making us to be fit and worthy and sufficient as ministers. Now, I don't want to go any further than that. It is He who has qualified us, making us to be fit and worthy and sufficient as ministers. Now, if God says you're qualified, and He has made you fit, He has said you are worthy to do it, He has said you are able to do it, who are we to argue with God? In the U.S., we have something called the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. I don't know if you've heard of that before. But it is a stamp that you see on products, and those are products that have been tested for safety, convenience, quality, wearability, that kind of stuff. So if it has the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval, it means you have confidence in that. Well, we have been stamped with the God Housekeeping Seal of Approval. That's stamped on you. I'm telling you, folks, God has qualified you. Now, we tend to disqualify ourselves because we know our flaws and faults. But that's wrong. Because if God says I'm qualified, if He says I'm worthy to do it, who am I to disagree with God? Do you realize you set yourself up as a God, above God, if you disagree with Him? So He says you're worthy. He says you're qualified. We need to agree with that. Amen? Now, some things we want to help you in and to stretch you in is this. And we're going to be talking about some of the gifts of the Spirit in a moment. But I want to encourage you in this. As leaders, you're going to run into this and have to work through it. What Nola and I run into a lot of times, we do a lot of schools of the Spirit, schools of prophecy, prophetic schools. And in the schools, we have people that in their soul realm are experiencing change. God's touching them in a way. He's changing their heart, doing things like that. And they feel like, because they're changing in that area, that that's a word from God that the whole body needs to hear. And it's not the case. There was a situation, I'll tell you, in a service where a young lady spoke out in the middle of a service, interrupted the preacher, and was just saying, Jesus loves us so much. He loves us so much. Well, come to talk to her. I was the one that had to go talk to her, and I'm sharing this with men. Come to find out, she had been from a broken home, never knew a loving father. And God was at that time showing Himself as a loving father specifically to her. And so that was targeted to her, but it was not something for the whole congregation. And it was out of order, her giving that. So in your groups, you have home groups, you're going to have people as you grow. Well, I believe the Lord is saying this. You're going to have to discern by the Spirit, is that out of the soul realm? Mm-hmm. Or is that truly the Spirit of God? Mm-hmm. So we want to help you stretch a little bit in that area, because that's a responsibility you have to take, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You have to know, is that the Spirit of God? Because sometimes people will come to you and say, is this God or not? And they're going to ask you to know from your heart, is this God or not? So we're going to look at some things and points mm-hmm. about that.
Sometimes when people ask me if something's God or not, I feel like saying, I don't know. Yeah, why are you asking me? But often I'll buy time and I'll say, let me pray about it. And I let what they've shared sit in my spirit. And I see how I feel. Feel's not a good word. We don't like that word. But I'll see how I feel about that word over time. It's a hugely responsible position to hold the lives of men and women for Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? Hugely responsible. Now, I talked about teaching people how to flow in prophecy and getting them to pray in the Spirit just for a minute or two so their spirit man would rise up. One of the things that happens in worship when we're ministering in a cell group or youth or whatever and people are entering into worship, their spirit man is rising up to meet the Spirit of God. We know He's in us, but Scripture makes it very clear. There's an anointing that abides and there's an anointing that comes.
A manifestation.
Okay? So when you're leading people in worship or waiting on God, their spirit man rises up and connects with the Holy Spirit. So they are submitting their soulish realm, submitting their mind, emotions, and will to the Spirit of God. And when you come to minister to them, it'll be easier to minister. You see, sometimes I've heard people prophesy over people, but it hasn't been a word from God. They have picked up the soul desire of that person. Exactly. Like, you know, a girl might be in a meeting and she might be thinking, I want a husband, I want a husband, I want a husband. And that is sort of like the idol in her heart. And when she comes to the prayer line, she's not saying in her heart, God, whatever you want for me is fine. I want a husband. So an inexperienced or immature minister will come along and think they're picking up in the spirit realm, but they're actually picking up the soul desire of that person. And they'll say, I see that you want a husband. And that person will start jumping around. Oh, that's a word from God's telling me, you know, he's got a husband for me. And that's not what he was doing. So you must keep your spirit man. You must make him lead your soul and your body.
Yes.
Every part of you, so that you're an able minister. But then lead the people you're leading to a place where they allow their spirit man to lead them, to be at the forefront of their lives. And that way they will be in a place that when you come minister to them, they'll be ready, yielded. Father, whatever it is that you have to say, I receive. And so that's the twofold responsibility you have. One, to build up your spirit man. And secondly, to build up their spirit man. Now, how do you build up your spirit man? Well, you firstly seek God as to your ministry. Romans says that we wait upon the Lord for our ministry. And that actually literally means in the Greek, we entwine ourselves around our calling and our ministry in God.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm a woman, but I'm a prophet. I'm a wife. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. And it's not that I'm a prophet totally. It's part of my life. It is entwined around my life. So you must know your call, know the boundaries of your call, know the authority, the anointing of your call, and wait upon the Lord so that you become entwined. It becomes very part of who you are. An evangelist walking down the street, all he sees is souls.
Yeah, true.
You know, a missionary, is their heart is always for the nations of the earth. A prophet, I'm always interested in people's destiny. It can't be disconnected from who I am. It can't be separated from who I am. It's part of who I am. So wait upon your ministry that your spirit man would be built up through friendship, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and then begin to pray for each of the people you lead that you would even by faith call up their spirit, you know, to rise up in their life. For many, many years, I know I'm not meant to be preaching, but for a lot of years, I would write down what type of prophet I wanted to be. I knew what God had called me to, but I would walk the floor and I would say, thank you, Father, I bring words that are accurate to the hearts of men. Thank you that I have boldness, that I don't fear the faces of men, that I'm not swayed by the opinions of men. I'm not swayed by money. I'm not swayed by men of influence. And I would just build in the spirit through declaration. I would take specific words, walk the floor and say, I am an able minister of the Spirit. The words you give me, Lord, bring life. They don't tear down. They don't bring law. They build people up. I would build myself up, but then I would build up the people around me that I was called to minister to. And I'd begin to say, Lord, I thank you that those that I lead are mature in you. Thank you, Father, that they are seekers of you, that they place you first in their life, that, Father, they're yielded vessels before you. And you have a plan and a destiny for every single one of them, Father, and you're going to reveal that to us, and you're going to show us how to build them up and release them into it. And I would be calling forth their spirit man to rise up. And if I saw that they were struggling in a soul area, perhaps they were, always emotional, and that hindered the work of the Spirit in their life, or perhaps they were intellectual, and they couldn't receive, you know, the word of God and the work of the Spirit in there. It was always filtered through there. I'd begin to call them up through that. That was my place of authority. It was not a controlling or a soulish prayer. But I would use that authority because God had given me watch over them. Start to call them up so when I ministered to them, they were in that place of spirit ascendancy. So they would come before the Lord and they would just receive from God. God wants you to move in a dynamic of the Spirit, in dreams, visions, the prophetic, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, gift of faith, healings, miracles.
Yes.
It's not just big preachers.
Right.
You know, the greatest prophetic words I've ever had over my life have been from people like the sound men or the kindergarten teachers.
Yeah.
The most profound powerful words have not been through the great men and women of God of this generation that I've met and ministered to me. They've been through other people in the body of Christ. You can be powerful if you will walk with the Spirit and always have your spirit leaning over to hear his voice.
Amen.
Don't dismiss anything.
Amen.
If you're not sure, Lord, confirm it. Lord, speak to me again. Show me from the Word. Show me that this is what you're wanting me to do, Lord, in some way. But always walk like this, and you'll find that your ministry grows in not just depth, but ability of the Spirit and fruitfulness in God. And you'll start to find that you flow easily in the gifts of the Spirit regularly. And you'll find that you no longer minister out of this or this.
Amen.
Or even an emotional heart, but you'll minister out of the Spirit of God inside of you.
This is so essential. Now, all of you have, I'm sure, been in a position before where you were very tired, but you knew you had to do your responsibility, right? And you take that authority and that responsibility. And I want to encourage you to continue in that. God gave me an example one time, and it's about a policeman. So with Rob here, this works great. But just stay there. But wouldn't it be foolish? Let's just suppose that Rob, in leaving in the morning, he's going to be his policeman, and he, in backing his car out, accidentally hits the neighbor's trash bin and squashes it flat. And he feels really bad, but he's got to get to work. He can't be late. So he just takes off, and he thinks, well, when I get home, I'll take care of it. But he's feeling so bad, and so he goes to work, and he's out on his route. They're training him, and he sees a robbery. And he goes, and just as it's taking place, he sees the robber come out. He's able to catch them, and he's holding them, and he's saying, now I'm supposed to arrest you, but you know, I ran over a trash can this morning. I just feel so rotten about myself. I just feel so guilty. What right do I have to arrest you? Go ahead and go. I mean, now, wouldn't that be foolish? But do you know we as leaders do that sometimes? Because of circumstances of life, feelings we have, emotions, things we're going through, we will lay down our authority and responsibility. Well, you know what that's asking for? That's like saying, putting a red target on you. Here, devil. Here you go. Here I am. Hit me. That's literally what it's like. So I want to encourage you as leaders. I know it's not easy. There are times when I've ministered so sick in my body, yet I know I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, but the manifestation hasn't come. But so sick in my body that I'm hurting, but I get up and I minister, and you ought to see the power of God work. Wonderful. I know Noah's been through things. Emotional hurts. A relative has died. Something happened. But you do what you need to do in the strength of the Spirit of God. And if you work out of the soul realm, and this is what Noah's talking about, you will find you can't do that. If you're operating out of the soul, if your soul's not up, you can't really give. But if you're operating out of the Spirit, hallelujah, then any time, any place, no matter what you're facing or going through, you're able to give and to bless others. And so this has been called a faith weekend. That's the word that came. It's a faith weekend. And we want to build your faith. Now, I want to read a list to you of some ways the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And here's my challenge, and as we are sharing and when the time comes. But here's our challenge to you. As I read this list, we're not going to be to this point yet. But I want you to say, Holy Spirit, speak to me in a different way than you normally do. Okay? And we do this in schools all the time. Because a lot of you say, God gave me a picture. And 99.9% of the time you say, God gave me a picture. Right? Or I sense this, or whatever. Well, I'm going to read to you ways the Holy Spirit speaks to people. And we're going to believe tonight, as the Holy Spirit's moving, you're going to hear from the Holy Spirit, but it will be different than the way you normally hear from the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we need to develop. The reason is this. Because of the prophetic word that came forth this morning with the rivers with the things you said and then the rivers. You said it first, and then I just amplified what God had said, that they're going to break out in new streams. The Holy Spirit is going to do things differently. Now, religion says, God, we put you in a box. This is the way you've worked before. You always got to work this way. But the Holy Spirit says, then you're in control, not me. So the Holy Spirit wants to be in control. For him to be in control, he'll say, okay, this time I'm going to speak to you this way. Or I'm going to have you do it this way. All right? He may say in a song service, sing all fast songs. No slow songs. Sing all fast songs. Rejoicing songs. Throw your hands up and cheer and shout. And then the next service, he say, sing all slow songs. And the next service, he may say, no songs. Just stand and worship me. You've got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit from the Spirit, man. Because this allows the Holy Spirit then to do the maximum of what he wants to do. So I'm going to read this list to you very slowly so you can get an idea of the ways the Holy Spirit speaks. And don't lay down your authority ever. If you find you're doing that, probably you're operating out of a soul realm rather than the Spirit, because the Spirit man will never do that. Okay? Here's some ways the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks through your conscience, through the still, small voice. That's a little voice you hear. Small, very still, small voice when you're quiet. He speaks through prayer. When you're praying, the Holy Spirit will speak. Through unctions. An unction, it's hard to describe, but it's like a pushing. Like it comes and it just pushes you. It nudges you. Move out in this. Okay? He speaks through the inward witness. What is the inward witness? This is knowing something without any clues to be able to know it. You know something because the Spirit of God makes you know it. It's called the inward witness. He speaks through revelation in a message this morning, preaching on the Bible being a mirror, the Word of God being a mirror, reflecting what we already have. That may have been a revelation to you. God will speak to you through revelation. The Holy Spirit will. Through preaching and teaching. All of us have been heard the voice of the Holy Spirit through preaching and teaching. How many of you have ever prayed a prayer, Lord, I need an answer, gone to a service, and the preacher says exactly what you need? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And many times, it's so funny, Nolan and I both experienced this, and you will too if you haven't, where you'll share something, and later someone will come up and say, you know, when you were talking about this and this and this, it really touched my heart, and you go, I wasn't talking about that. I didn't say that. But the Spirit of God spoke somehow through what you were saying and touched their heart with it. Amen? So, through preaching and teaching. Through life's circumstances. Now, I'm not talking about sickness and disease. There are some, I don't want to call them false religions, but false teachings that God uses sickness to teach us stuff. No, God doesn't put sickness on us to teach us stuff. In the midst of any circumstance, you can learn. But God uses His Word to teach us. That's what the Bible says. That's His rule of teaching, the Word. Now, in the midst of anything you're going through, you can learn something. But God's Word is that. So life circumstances, if you'll tune in, the Holy Spirit will show you truths out of that. Okay? Sympathetic feelings. This is something commonly Nolan and I get. We'll be teaching, and like we might get a pain in the back. Right here. And you feel a pain. And so you're preaching and you're like, okay, Lord, what's going on here? And you want to be sure it's God, but you know that continues. Then you say, okay, who out there has a pain in their back? And you know, there's always someone because it's God. You get a sympathetic feeling. All right? That's another way the Holy Spirit does it. Through dreams. Who in here has had dreams? If you haven't, we'll just pray tonight that you do. It's awesome to have dreams from God. They're wonderful. Visions, which are pictures God gives you. And that's what a lot of you have. You have the pictures, the visions. Through warnings. Warnings, by that I mean, there are times the Holy Spirit warns you about something. Tells you of something that's ahead. Or you sense that there's danger in something. Children are very apt to this type of sensitivity. You can walk with children into a place, and they'll automatically stiffen up, pull back, and it's like, and you may not even notice it, but children are very sensitive this way. they sense this isn't right. You know, like if you walk into a New Age shop and the spirits are around there, children will pick that up quickly. So it's through warnings like that. The Holy Spirit speaks through ideas. Ideas will come to you many times. They're there. And you know it's from God. God does it through ideas. And lastly, God speaks, and this is the one I love the most, through impossibilities. Through impossibilities. You can guarantee it's God if it's impossible. See, you don't need faith if it's possible for you to do it. But you need faith in Him if it's impossible. So He speaks through impossibilities. When you know you're doing the will of God and impossibilities confront you, the Holy Spirit will speak through those things. So, I've just listed a few things, different ways the Holy Spirit speaks. And tonight, we want to challenge you as leaders. Step up your faith level. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm open to hear you speak in a different way than I've ever heard you speak. I'm not going to use the same way again. And we do this in schools all the time. And it's amazing. Oh, I just had this. Or I just felt something come up from here. I said, oh, well, that's an unction coming from there. Oh, an idea just popped in my head. See, they get different ways the Holy Spirit communicates. What you discover is this. The Holy Spirit talks to us a lot. We didn't know it was Him. Because it wasn't the way we're used to Him talking to us. But He does it all the time. So we need to learn these. And as leaders, you learn this because then you can help someone that comes to you and says, is this God or not? I'm not sure. You can tell by the way they're thinking. Yes, that's one way God communicates to you. Amen? So just keep these in mind as we go. Hallelujah.
Now, when you decide that you want to be yielded to the Spirit on a whole new level, the Holy Spirit causes the anointing of God upon your gift and call to be stirred up. And so when you go even outside your leadership into the street, people begin to be attracted to you. They don't know why. Now, often we have a little trouble getting a bit of peace. I mean, you know, we're in stores and people will come up and, you know, we were in a Home Depot hardware store and a man came up and he was the sales assistant. Charlie was on his name tag. And he came up and said to me, I didn't always work here, you know. I had a business, but it all went bad. And I want you to pray for me. Now, sometimes Alan can't find me in a store because just it's like the anointing just draws people. I was in Walmart buying vitamins, standing in front of this whole lot of vitamins. This woman came up and she said, I've got to do something about my body. Everything's out of order and I don't know what to buy. Tell me what to buy. And I'm there thinking, lady, I don't know what you need. And so I just said, Holy Spirit, what do you want her to have? And then I said, you'll need this and this and this.
It was an amazing thing because she literally had been there and she turned to us. There were other people around. She turned to us. We didn't have any kind of suit on that looked like we were pharmacists or anything.
No.
She just turned and said, and she was so sincere. She said, I really need to do something about my body, but I don't know what to do. What do I do? And we're like, well, praise God. You know. And we were at the in the women's section. You were looking at some blouses, and a lady comes up, and she starts crying, and she says, my life is going to just fall into pieces. What can I do? I was on an elevator in a hospital, going from the 5th floor to the 6th floor, visiting people, and a young man jumps on at the 5th floor. The door's just barely closed. He turns to me, and I'm wearing clothes like this. I'm not dressed up. He goes, crying, I'm not right with God. I've backslidden. I said, all right, let's pray. And I had him say a quick prayer. Father, forgive me. I purpose from this day forward to live for you. And the elevator's door opens for 6, and I turn around and said, now get back in church. God bless you. That was it. But see, if you don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in different ways, you'll feel helpless at those times. You won't know what to do. All right? So we need to learn. And there's a thing about it when you're tuned in, God will use you in so many ways. So be open to that. Amen.
Yeah. God wants yielded vessels. Just yielded. It's almost like on the inside you are laying prostrate before the Lord, and you prostrate and you are just worshipping God with all of your being. Even though you're going about your daily business, your heart attitude is just, God, I am here to glorify you.
Amen.
You know, we talk about prayer, but really the greatest prayer should be, Father, make me a blessing. Let me reflect your glory.
Yes.
Let my life reflect your glory. And I've got to tell you, there are times when I get really annoyed and times when I get tired, because wherever I go, it seems like I end up counseling the GP or the doctor I'm with or the lady that's cutting my hair. And I think, Lord, I'm paying them, but I'm doing the work here, and this is meant to be my downtime.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a wonderful thing when people see something that they don't know what they're seeing, but they know, firstly, you're a safe person, and they know you're a person that's trustworthy, a person that may be able to lead them and help them in their life. So just have that attitude that you are laying down your life, that you are ministering to the Lord with your life and walking with the Spirit of God, and He will ensure that that anointing is stirred up within you. And there are ways I can tell you to increase the anointing: fasting, prayer, going to seminars, rubbing up against men and women of God that are in the same flow or same gifting that you have. We see the Elisha and Elijah principle. Mm-hmm. You know, the anointing by association. And I can give you a list of things to do to increase the anointing, but the greatest thing you can do is to humble your life before the Spirit of God and say, Lord, you teach me how to flow in the gifts. And each one of you should be flowing in the gifts regularly. Not one gift, but whatever gift is needed at the time.
Amen.
To minister life to people. You see, if I was to give you a great prophetic word about your destiny, but your marriage was falling apart, that is not going to minister to you, is it, at that time?
No.
You're going to think, it's great, I've got a destiny, but right now I don't see it. I just see disaster. The greatest gift is the gift that's needed. And so that means that, you know, you will automatically, because of your personality and your heart's desires in ministry, you will automatically gravitate to being used in a certain way. And for me, it's words of knowledge and words of wisdom. For him, it is the gift of faith. You know, it scares me when he says to a blind person, open your eyes and you'll see. And I'm thinking, how does he know that? I don't see that. And, you know, we prayed for a woman a couple of years ago that had been stabbed in the eye. And, you know, I'm sort of praying this weak little prayer, hoping and believing that God will touch her. And he says, well, you're going to be healed tonight. And she opened her eyes and he said, can you see? Well, you know, I can see blurry. Okay, well, we'll just lay hands on you again and you will see. And I'm thinking, oh, no, because I don't feel it. You know, when someone has a word of knowledge, the person next to me is not going to know whether it's from God or not. They're not going to feel it until there's a response by the one that comes forward, or an acknowledgement that, yes, this is God. But you will gravitate toward desires in certain things. If you're a counselor and you counsel a lot of people, then the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, mm-hmm. and the prophetic word will be things that you seem to easily flow into. But you must be willing and open. Holy Spirit, teach me about gifts of healing.
Amen.
Teach me about the gift of faith. What's it like when you know that you know that you know that, Father, you are going to do something in someone's life, and I don't even have to pray it. I can just declare that this is what Father is doing in you right now.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be exciting when you're stretched out in faith to the place that you can be a vessel to whatever God wants to do in someone's life?
Amen.
Who here flows in the gifts of the Spirit? Put your hands right up. Well, you all should do,
yeah.
And you all can do. And many times we do, but we don't recognize it. But what we want to do is stir up the anointing tonight so that you would be hungry to move in that dimension, but also so that you would have some extra knowledge that would help you understand these things. You
Amen.
Can do it.
The thing is, leaders is not only to flow, but to recognize in others what they're doing and help them flow. And that's one of the things both of us having taught I was a Bible school director for 17 years at one church. And you learn by the Spirit when someone has things. And it was not uncommon during our, we had chapel periods where we did praise and worship twice a day, 5 days a week. So we had a lot of chapel time. And in those times, God would tell me that person has word of knowledge. So I just say to him, Joe, you got a word of knowledge. And they're like, huh? You have it. Come up here and give it. And they go, what? And I said, no, come up here. Be still. Because, see, you're trying to think it here. It's not coming from here. It comes from the Spirit man. Now, God may reveal it one way or another, but sense something. You know the ways God speaks. And then Joe would be still, and he'd go, you know what? I've been feeling this pain right here. And I don't have a pain like that. Does somebody in here have a pain? I do. I just feels like I tore something at work yesterday, and it's been paining me right here. You know, just getting people to recognize that's God talking through you. Amen? It's a joy. It's wonderful. So as leaders, that's part of our job to develop others. But we've got to be able to do that first so that we can train others to do it. So that's what we're trying to do. It's a faith weekend. It's a stretching. Amen? So let's say, God, speak to me in a different way. God, show me something in a different way. Amen? I was in Mexico, and we actually had a dead person raised. I was in Tuxtla, but the dead person was raised in Mexico City. Tremendous testimony. But I mean, this guy was dead. He was on life support, and they had called the ex-wife and daughter to because they had the right to tell them to take him off life support. And so they were crying, didn't know what to do, ministered with them. And at 2 o'clock that next morning, he sat up in bed, alive, and said, I want to see my ex-wife and daughter. Now, for years, he was so bitter against them, he would not talk to them. He says, I've got to see them. Something happened to him, we don't know. But he was on another floor, walking around. They took him out of the intensive care, down to another floor. But there was a man there, and I had words of knowledge, about 7 or 8 in a row, quick, 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 quick. And I was just calling them, and people were flooding forward. And a man came forward, and one of them was teeth. And I love when God calls teeth, because God fills teeth, sometimes with silver, sometimes with porcelain, sometimes. It's beautiful. You look in there, and a tooth is filled where there was a hole. It is incredible. I love that. But it just excites me. But he was teeth, and so this guy came up, and he said, I have a problem in my ear, and I have a problem with teeth. And this man looked very poor. And a lot of the people there were very, very poor. And I said to the translator, have him raise his hands. And the translator told him, and I said, okay, I'm going to pray. And I said, did you tell him to raise his hands? And she said, yes. And he didn't raise his hands. And I said, ask him why he didn't raise his hands. And he said back to her, I can't, my arms are frozen. His arms were like this, frozen at his side. I have never, ever in my life seen this before. His arms were frozen at his side. And I didn't get a word from God. I didn't hear the Holy Spirit say anything other than I knew I had had the words of knowledge about the thing. So I said, Lord, you're here to heal. I'm just going to go for it. And I grabbed his arms, and it took all my strength. Can you hold that?
Sure.
Took all my strength to grab his arms and to pull them up like, it was everything I could do. I mean, they were like boards that were nailed on the side of him. It's frozen. I've never seen this before. And I pulled his arms up like this, and it's all I can do. I mean, I am pushing hard. I'm sweating. And this guy breaks into tears, and my flesh said, you're really hurting this guy. That's what my flesh thought. Oh, man, I am hurting this guy. But in my spirit man said, keep going. See, I listened to the Spirit. And he said, keep going. And I pushed his arms all the way up. So they're like this. They're still frozen, like this, stiff. And then I took them, and I forced his shoulders to go out like this. And then I forced them back. And I kept doing this. Back and forth. And back and forth. And back and forth. And then I took his arms, and I forced them to bend like this. Again, everything I had. I'm telling you, folks, it's like breaking a 2x4. You know what a 2x4 is? A board?
Yeah. Yeah.
There are 2x4s in the States. All right. Anyway. Anyway, you think, God, what's going on? It took everything I had in the natural, pushing his arms. But finally I got them bent. And I bent them back. And I bent them forward. And I mean, I was having to work hard in the natural to do this. But my spirit man was saying, this is of God, keep going. My mind's thinking all kinds of stuff. Boy, you know, what are they going to think? But I had to ignore that. And I got this, and then I got it like this, and then I started doing them in a circle like this. Bending in, making a circle. And I let go, and he's doing it. Mm-hmm. Just like this. Just weeping before God. And so I said to the translator, I says, now, ask him what God's going to do for his ear and his teeth. And she said, and he just, I knew what he said. He said, I'll be healed. I knew what he's going to say. She told me. But see, God built his faith. And that's why we've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Yes, would God have healed just his ears and his teeth? Yeah. But God wanted to do more. Mm. Amen. So that's why we want you to stretch. Mm. Go beyond. Amen. Mm. Hallelujah. When someone comes up for prayer and says, you know, man, I've just been having bad dreams. Well, the Holy Spirit can speak to you and say, the reason they're having bad dreams is they're having problems at work, and there's someone trying to control their life, and so it's causing pressure against them, demonic pressure. And so you say, you know, are you having problems at work? And man, it just, it's the root. You say, let's break that.
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You've got to trust the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
You got to know his voice, and he's not going to always speak through a picture or through a word. He's going to do it different ways to stretch us, mm. to keep him in control, because then he always gets the glory.
Mm.
It's not us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Many times, like Alan said, when someone comes forward for prayer, they're just presenting a symptom or the fruit. And if you listen to the Lord, it's usually the first thing that he speaks into your spirit is from him. Before you rationalize it out, before you think, well, no, I don't think that's happening in their life. Usually the first thing you ask him for, Holy Spirit, how do I pray? When I teach people to prophesy, I always say to them, what's the first thing that God brings to your spirit? Before you filter it all away through, oh, I don't think they're going through that. It couldn't be them. You're hitting the root cause, and there'll be tremendous, tremendous fruit when you do that simply by yielding to the Spirit. And often God can give you a root or a word or a picture or a sense or a sympathetic feeling that is so far removed from what you think. Alan gave a word of knowledge in a church, and again, I was cringing. You know, he stood up and he said, I see a dog. And the whole church just started laughing. A sick dog. And I'm thinking, oh. I know enough to know he hears from God. And I know enough to know that miracle signs and wonders follow his ministry. But I'm thinking, where are we going? And he goes on about this neighbor.
The dog's not in your yard.
Yeah, the dog's in another yard.
I said, the dog is in the yard next to you.
The whole church is laughing.
It's right next to you. The dog's over here and he's sick. And I said, who has that situation?
And he said, you've been called to pray for the dog. And by then, the whole church just broke out. And these two young girls came running and said, it's us, it's us. Our neighbor's dog is sick and we've been praying for him. And what was the outcome?
Well, the thing is, they said our neighbor's dog is really sick. And the neighbor said, that is his life, that animal.
Yeah.
And I said,
and he's not saved.
He's not saved. That's what they said. I asked him, I said, is he saved? And they said, no, the man's not saved. I said, this is going to get him saved. I said, you go over. God's going to use you two to lay hands on that dog. He will be healed, and the man will get saved.
Listen, guys, Holy Spirit is never wrong. He never misses it. He doesn't have an off day. And, you know, you can dismiss the most ridiculous things. There's times when I've seen almost like a comic strip or a funny picture that he's given me. You can dismiss what the Holy Spirit says to you and minister in a measure of faith and anointing, You know, you can pray a scriptural prayer.
Right.
Or you can allow the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of life, to pray and minister through you, and you could change things forever in someone's life. Jan,
Amen.
You are an able minister of the gospel.
Yes, you are. Amen. Amen.
You're an able minister. You're to look for that in your emails, in your words with people. You're to look for words of knowledge that will speak right into the situations of people, right into the very heart of things. You're to open up your life so that you would allow that flow of the Spirit. And no more saying, I couldn't do that, Lord, not me. No more saying, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I break that over your thinking tonight. You have the mind of Jesus. Study that scripture. You're a minister of the Spirit that brings life. Oh, that we would walk so carefully by the Spirit, that we would walk before Him and we would sense the slightest movement.
Yes.
You know, sense the slightest moving of the Spirit. Oh, minister to Him. Minister to her. I'll keep going right now. Yes. Or just speak a word in season. Or just touch someone. You know, I can remember last year being in a church and I went down this huge altar call. Well over 100 people, and it was exhausting. And prophesying over people, I came to this one woman, and I just stroked the side of her face. That's all I did. I stood before her and just did that. She began to cry, and she said, no one has touched me in 20 years.
Yes.
Not that sort of loving, caring, intimate touch. Now, that's not something I normally go up and do to strangers, but that was the Spirit of the Lord leading me. That was her healing.
Amen.
That was her breakthrough. So when you minister in the Spirit, particularly in the gifts, yield every part of your being.
Hallelujah.
You know, God might want you to touch someone. He might not want you to touch someone. What I teach people in prophetic schools is that we get used to a point of contact for our faith. We get used to praying for people in a certain way. And so what I get them to do is, you know, when they're prophesying over people, they might be used to standing with someone and putting their hand on their shoulder. But if I think that they're getting a little bit too habitual in it, that they think that that's the thing that releases the anointing, I'll tell them, okay, I want you to stand 6 feet back. Do you know that you should be able to prophesy from the front of the church to the back of the church with no lessening of anointing?
Amen.
It should be the power of the Lord sent forth, released.
Amen.
So be free to, you know, no one can make you go higher in God. It's your choice.
Amen.
If I've been on holidays and I haven't ministered in the Spirit for a while, I will deliberately choose the person in the church that looks the least interested, most hard-hearted, angry, bitter person sitting there in the church service, like, let's just see what she's got. I will deliberately choose that person and say, sir, madam, I want to pray for you tonight if you'd allow me. I believe that God wants to give you a word from heaven. At that point, I have nothing but, oh, Lord, you know, why couldn't it be the nice lady that's worshiping and, you know, she's connecting with God and open? But I do that to push through to that faith level.
Yes.
That's why I do it. And that's how you must be in God.
Amen.
Because you can get to a level and you can stop at that level and you can know that God uses you in a measure of healing, in a measure of the counsel of the Lord. But you've always got to be challenging yourself and stepping out and feeling uncomfortable. And let me tell you that it doesn't matter whether you've been flowing in the Spirit for 1 year or 100 years, unless you operate in the gift of faith as the Spirit wills, it will be uncomfortable. You will have to push through your thinking and your fears and what you see and what you think about a person. You know, and many times I call people out to the front, tell them to come out to the front, and I know between the point they leave their seat to the point they come in the front, I better press into God and get a word, because at that point I don't have a word. But I know that God is always wanting to speak to His people.
Amen.
He's always wanting to minister to them. He's always wanting to bless them, and you are the vessel.
Amen. So tonight we're just kind of challenging you a little bit, stirring up your faith. All of you have been used in measure. Noel and I are used in measure, but we want that measure to increase. Amen?
Amen.
It's a faith weekend, so we're stretching our faith. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just push a little bit. Let's dare to say, God, use me. use me in a different way. Talk to me in a way I'm not used to listening to you, so that I learn to hear your voice in a different way. Show me new ways to do things. Folks, I cannot tell you how important that is. Did you know every major move of God, and you can go back, we're talking about Azusa Street, William Seymour, and I was mentioning William Brannan, I believe, the other day, but Azusa Street, the Welsh Revival, ones that have been around England, all the big revivals, out of those have been birthed denominations, groups of people. And you know what they did? And I'm not being critical, but please understand. If you go in many of those churches today, they have lost the anointing. Why? Because they made a method out of the way God did it. They made that their religion. We don't want to make, if God says today you receive your miracle by shouting, what should everybody be doing? Shouting. But if tomorrow he says, everybody, I want to touch you in a different way, I want you to be still, then we should follow the flow of the Spirit. It is not cookie cutter. Nothing is. There should be only patterns that we've established of order to do things, but the way the Holy Spirit moves in those systems should be totally free, and there should not be, somebody should not be able to walk into a church and say, oh, I know what's going to happen today. They're going to sing five songs, and this is going to happen, and this. It shouldn't be that way. The Holy Spirit wants to be so free to work that one day it's shouting, one day it's quiet, one day it's loud, one day it's soft. We flow with Him. And I don't know if you know Rodney Howard Brown, and I don't know what you think about Rodney Howard Brown, but I can tell you this, he's of God. But I was in meetings, and one night, people are laying on the floor laughing. The next night, they're laying on the floor crying. The next night, there's such a still hush. The awesome presence of God, tangible. You don't want to talk. You don't want to say a word. And then other nights, you don't feel a thing. You don't feel a thing. The preaching's good. He goes hour and a half, 2.5 hours preaching. Good preaching. Good revelation. It's all the Spirit of God. And when we learn that, and we learn to flow with Him, then we don't get caught in a pattern, a method that we say is God. We learn to flow with Him. Amen? And so as leaders, you're going to see this breaking out more and more as you step out in faith. Things are going to start changing. The river's going to take different paths. They're going to cut new courses. So you're going to have to learn to flow with that. And those that have cell groups, you're going to have people that are going to have to learn. You're going to have to help them move into those new paths. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing tonight. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to step into that. You ready?
Yeah.
Can I just say something?
Sure.
When the Holy Spirit comes, and He's obviously wanting to bring more than an outpouring to this fellowship. He's obviously wanting to do something very profound and significant. And He will manifest aspects of His person in seasons. And as He comes as the healer, reach out to God that it wouldn't just be something that comes and goes, but that there would be a healing anointing established.
Amen.
In this place, upon your lives, upon the fellowship. And then when He moves on, perhaps He comes as the lover that draws people. Let that anointing be established.
Amen.
You know, flow on in the new things, but let Him, as He passes by, those things take root in the fellowship and say, Lord, we want that anointing resident here, that aspect of your being. And as He flows on again, let another anointing be established. You can add anointings to your life.
Amen.
Just add the anointings, flow with Him, and let it be established. And if you watch what the Holy Spirit does, then He'll show you very clearly that He has a divine order. It's said that there are always three groups of people in the church of the Lord. Those that can see what He's doing, even afar off, they can sense the stirrings of the Spirit, and they can see Him beginning to manifest certain aspects of His person. And then there are those that don't feel quite spiritual, but they know God's moving. They can't put their finger on it, but they want to be part of it. They don't want to be at the forefront. They want to be in the middle where it's safe. And then there are those that wait till Spirit's been through, and they say, well, did something happen? Did we miss it? But as leaders, God has placed you. God has placed you at the very forefront of this new thing, this new time that he's begun this year. And he's been preparing it for a long time. So get in the flow. And you know, there'll be parts of his person that you like more than others. You know, like Alan likes Christian rock worship. I like Benny Hinn type of, you know. Don't I, Jan? I like that quite, I'm just not into that flow.
Terry McAlmon.
Yeah, but you, I like him too, you will like, I mean, he likes that head-banging stuff that's God.
I like Delirious.
And I know it's God.
I like it.
I know it's God, but it's not my scene. But there'll be aspects of what God does in seasons as he builds his throne in this place. Some of them you will love, and others you might find, you know, a little difficult. He loves the fire of God. He gets on the floor and says, God, burn this stuff out of me. And I say, no, Lord, let me just hang on to it for a little while and just take it a little bit at a time. I don't like the fire. No, we're all different. And he says, God, get out today and then I'll be done. He gets up off the floor after crying for a couple of days and he's changed. Whereas I just want to walk through. So, you know, like Paul might like one aspect and might think, oh, this is so awesome. And Nick might say, oh, Lord, yes, this is the dealings of God.
Yes.
Because, you know, the fire will come.
Amen.
It's nice at the moment with the worship and the drawing to intimacy, but the fire of God will come. He'll start to put his finger on areas that weren't a problem before or that you didn't know about before, and he'll want to just burn that dross, purify, refine. So flow with the seasons. But as the seasons come and go, let them be established in the church and established on your life. Does that make sense?
Amen. Now, final word that I'm going to give, and that is this. Everything in the spirit, and we're told this in the scripture, even the devil can come as a spirit or an angel of light. Isn't that what scripture says? So what does it tell us to do? To judge or to try, straight out of scripture, try every spirit. What do you try or judge every spirit by? The Word of God. That is your standard. For you to grow in walking in the Spirit, you're going to have a more active knowledge of the Word of God, because everything that we do in the Spirit, we already know is loosed or part of the Word of God. It's there. It's established. But if you don't have that confidence and you start to step out and do something, you're going to be, well, is this right or not? You need to get in the Word and see those things. Particularly study the areas where you see Jesus moving. Read the four Gospels. See his miracles. See how the Spirit of God worked through. Don't just read the miracles. See how the Spirit of God moved. See what he did. He did one time. What did he do? He spit in the clay. Why did have him do it that way? When another time he put his hands there. Why? Why? Because the Spirit of God had something going on. So you judge things by the Word of God. That is your standard. So be sure you have a good word base, because to know things of the Spirit of God are things that are of the soul or flesh, or even worse, that are of the devil's demonic spirits, New Age movement, all of those things. You're going to have a foundational truth, so that when the Spirit of God shows you something, you know, yes, that's true, that's right. Okay? Because that's your standard. Amen. So.
And I'll say my life. And as the Spirit of the Lord becomes heavier in his presence, on the fellowship, and in your homes, you may find him manifesting his presence in you and through you in ways that you never have before. Jan, you might be rolling on the floor.
Right.
You might be moving in a way that you're not quite used to that manifestation. But if you use the Word as your plumb line, the Word separates soul and spirit.
Amen. Hebrews 4:12.
You know, if someone starts yelping like a dog, you just look at the Word, Lord, is this of you? And that way you will protect yourself and your people from going off in a tangent or going off in the soul realm. I mean, we've seen many things. Some of the spirit and some of the flesh. some yes. to be a blessing and some to draw attention to people. And just Amen. Be open to the Lord.
He'll show you.
He'll show you.
Amen. So, who has qualified you to be leaders?
Jesus.
That's right. God says you're qualified. I mean, so who can disqualify you? Well, only you can by wrong thinking. If God's qualified you, and He says you're fit, you're worthy, He uses the word worthy. See, I don't have to earn the right to be where I am. Jesus made me. He called me. I didn't call myself. The gifts and calling are from God. I didn't call myself to be an apostle. God did. So, I'm worthy to be this. Not by anything I did, because He says I'm worthy. Mm-hmm. All right? So, you're qualified, you're worthy, you're fit, because God says so. Now, if you want to argue with God, that's your business. I think it's kind of stupid, but that's your business. I don't think you'll come out a winner. Okay? But, you know, so tonight we just want to challenge you. We're going to pray right now. Just take a few moments. We're not going to go long. But this is what the Spirit of God told us to do. We're just going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to speak to you in different ways than you've heard His voice before. If you see something in the Spirit, like a picture, normally, say, Lord, I don't want to hear you that way. Give me something a different way. Or if you get an unction, like, you know, this unction, like you should respond to something, like there's a need or something. And say, Lord, speak to me another way. Give me the still small voice. The way the still small voice works is this. It's the easiest way I can describe it. Is have you ever seen like a bubble that's in the bottom of something like water and it comes to the top, the bubble, it just kind of whoop. That's the way the still small voice is. It's just a little whoop. It's a very small, quiet voice. Whoop. There it is. Okay? So, just ask God. Say, God, speak to me in a way you haven't. Well, I shouldn't say haven't, because God does speak to us in a lot of different ways. We just haven't heard Him because we're used to one way or two ways. But challenge yourself tonight and say, Lord, a different way.
And listen to the Spirit. You know, we were talking about yielding to Him. Just listen, lean into the Lord. And if you sense a physical pain in your body that you know you don't normally have.
Like a sympathetic feeling or something.
A headache, a pain in the body. We're going to give you opportunity to bring that forth as a word of knowledge. You know, when you get a word of knowledge or you flow in the gifts of the Spirit that are revelatory, you have tremendous authority. When you go to pray for that person for healing, you don't have to pray, Lord, please heal this person.
Yeah.
Because He's already shown His will is to heal them.
By
you just have to release the anointing.
And say, be healed.
Be healed.
That's it, because He's already said,
this
is my will.
That's what I want to do.
This is what I want to do, so you just do it. Amen.
So be open tonight.
So as we pray, just if God gives you something, hold it, because we're going to give you a chance, and we'll say, okay, anybody here have a word of knowledge, we'll have you put up your hand, and we'll go to you one at a time. Mm. Or did God give you a prophetic word, or whatever? We'll ask, and we'll just one at a time ask you to give those. But everybody bow your head right now.
And don't try.
Don't try.
Don't.
Just relax.
Grit your teeth and, God, give me a word. Don't cry.
I'm going to get a word. I'm going to get a word. No, just be still. It's easy. It's not
just
a work of the flesh. It's the spirit man.
Thank you.
Get your mind still. Just be at
peace.
There's
no performance here.
That's right. And we don't have to have worship music. We don't have to anything. Because we should walk in the Spirit. That's what Romans 8 says. You live in the Spirit all the time. So, just listen.